As I look out over the crowd, I see a lot of familiar faces I haven't seen in a long time. And then I see Joel sitting down here. And I see Moses sitting down here. And I had a thought. My thought was maybe we should gather together as churches in one compound for a couple months. Because it influences us, it's a blessing. We don't look at each other the way we looked at each other before. It just does something, I believe, to every heart as we are there every day at the same place, see each other, work with each other, eat with each other, fellowship with each other, have church service with each other, witness with each other. And I think it would be a blessing if we could just all experience that, just have time and this month, these couple families are staying somewhere together. I think it would bring a bond and a connection that's hard to explain what happened. But that's what I was really blessed to thinking of influence and the influence people had in our life as we meet people. It can be both ways, so it's important that we choose the right people to be with the right people at the right places, and so it's just a tremendous blessing. And I'm just really blessed. I'm really blessed to be here today. See Brother Levi and his family over there, and Moses. It's been a while since I've seen them, and yeah, I look forward to the day, especially the services after this of young lives committing their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're willing to have the baptism, the seal that they are walking with the Lord and they are living for the kingdom of God, and it's just a tremendous blessing. So for my message here today, I really didn't have to ponder really long what the message is going to be on. Something was laid on my heart for a little while. But I did struggle coming up with a title for the message. I had a title, then I scratched it out, and that's just a little bit too blunt. But Brother Mark, I think you're okay. Faith is okay. We're a little blunt if it's the Word of God, right? So I did come up with a message, maybe a little blunt, but what I want to do is that you get the point. That's the whole purpose here today, and that's the whole purpose of preaching the message, so we do get the point, and that we, as we leave here, I want to leave something with you to think about, and my desire is, my heart here today is that we don't leave the way we came today. That is my heart's desire. And as I said, I struggled to come up with a message, not so much what I'm going to preach on, but something was laid on my heart here a little while ago, but I didn't do anything about it. I just kept going, and it was laid on my heart again, and it was revealed to me a couple different times, and I didn't respond to it. I knew in the back of my mind, I knew in my heart, I had to make some changes. But I wasn't willing to do it. And then I started searching my heart. Why is it so hard to make these changes? And that was on, the message today is going to be on witnessing. Why is it so hard for me all at once to witness to certain people? What happened to my boldness? Why am I not free and open to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done in my life? What is holding me back? And I started thinking, and I started looking into my life, and then I thought back. You know, I used to have a good reputation. And then back in the late 90s, I had a good reputation among the community right in here. I grew up a couple miles down the road. And then I got born again, 2000, and I lost all my reputation. I lost most of my friends that I had at that time, Most of the people turned against me, or us, I should say. And it created a lot of struggles, I thought. But what it did something in my heart. Losing that reputation did something to my heart. I remember there was times back in them years in Holmes County here, a lot of people didn't know of me. But if my name came up, they knew who I was. I've seen people turn their backs towards me and walk away from me. I've seen their people, I've seen crowds disperse because I used to love to go to the auction there in Mount Hope and pass out tracts and share the gospel. Would I dare to do that today? Because I build up a little reputation again. But what does the Lord want from me? And what is His desire? And there's a few things that open up my eyes to all this that I'd like to share this morning. And I'd like to say this yet. I may call out to someone randomly to share what the grace of God and what the power of God has done in your lives this week. So maybe you want to prepare. I don't know who I'm going to pick, but I'm possibly going to pick one of you here today. Just to share what the grace of God and the power of God has done in your life this week. And I believe that's what we ought to be sharing to the people as we meet the people. But before we get in the message here, why don't we stand for a word of prayer? Lord, we come to you this morning with thankful and grateful heart. Thank you, Lord, again for being with us. Thank you, Lord, for the gathering here at Faith. Thank you, Lord, for the blood you shed on Calvary for us, that you gave us eternal life, and you gave us that life where we know everything's going to be okay. But I just pray, Lord, as we gather here today, that you just, through the Holy Spirit, speak through me, Lord, that you would give me words to speak. And I pray, Lord, that we can open up our hearts, my heart, and we can search every corner to see where we're at. As we're making this journey through life, Lord, I believe there's a requirement of us, and that is that we're a witness for you, if we're a believer, Lord. So God, help us that we can be a true testimony and a true witness through various different ways, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. So there's a couple things that prompted me, that this has been laying on my heart, that I need to lay down my reputation. And then I had a trailer for sale, put it on Facebook Marketplace, and you get a lot of messages and a lot of contacts, and in fact, it can be rather challenging. And it was an older trailer, cargo trailer, and this guy contacted me, and he says, "Hey, I'm in Coshocton. I think he lives in Zanesville, and if he could come out and take a look at my trailer, he has interest in my trailer." And I said, "Sure, come on out. I'm at home," and had a little problem finding me there for a little bit, and he gets in there, and he pulls in there with a nice, fancy, expensive vehicle, and I'm kind of wondering what he wants with his old beater junky trailer. But he jumps out. He's a great big man. And immediately he wants to be intimidating. I figure he wants the best price he can get out of this. And he's kind of intimidating. And then he tells me, he says, and he uses very bad words. His words were awful, words I haven't heard in a long time. And he kind of kept doing that. And then he said, and then he started talking, and he talked about himself and all the good things he does, and then he started talking about his children and the things they're in and how he struggles with them and how he struggles with the help he has and what he tells them, and it wasn't very nice. He didn't seem like a very friendly man, a very intimidating man, a very controlling man. And I started praying. I was like, "Lord, let me be a witness to this man." And then he started sharing that he goes to these gay prides, and then he asked me what I feel about gays, and all this chanter stuff and which he was promoting, and so we had a little discussion there, and then he says, he was probably there, I don't know, 45 minutes to an hour. He was there a long time. He told me right away he has no interest in a trailer. But we had quite a discussion, and his language changed, but I told him, I says, you know, the Word of God, I told him what the Word of God says about the stuff he's promoting, and he says, well, you're just judging. He says, you don't know the people's heart, you're just judging. And I told him, I'm not judging, I'm just, the Word of God judges, does the judging. I'm just saying what the Word of God says, and I'm pointing out what sin does, and what it's sin. And if we have sin in our lives, we don't have a relationship with God. And we had a long conversation, and he agreed with some of it. He strongly disagreed with some of it. But at the end, he said this. He said, thank you for listening to me and sharing to me, because most of the Christians I talk to just get mad at me. And all honor and God, all praise to God for that. But I think there's a time for witnessing and testifying. So that was kind of the start of my journey, to try to see if I can't reach out to more people. And then first of June, here about a month ago, we had the opportunity to go out to L.A., California, to Street Path Ministries, to cook there for the people that were, for 11 or 12 days, we were out there cooking for 90-some people that were out witnessing on the streets. And that was a tremendous blessing. It did something to my heart to see the zeal and what it did to the people there, the ones that were doing the ministry. And then they had a speaker there that every evening we gathered, and he had a message, and his message was turning this world upside down. And the question is, what are we doing to turn this world upside down? And you know, it is so easy to go to L.A., it is so easy to go to New York City and to pass out tracts, to witness, to preach, and to do all that. But then the very last Sunday, one of the other older men, Richard was his name. In fact, he's midwife Frida's brother from Virginia. He had the message, and that really challenged me. And his message was on, what are we going to do when we get home? Who are our neighbors? And how are we witnessing to our neighbors? And so that was a challenge. But the real challenge to me was, I believe it was just last week. We just got home. Iva said we need to go get some groceries, and we just got home from Coshocton, and we were there for a little bit, and someone pulled in. I look out the window, and I seen someone I never seen before, and I seen he had a little briefcase thing and a little flyer, and I seen he's a salesman. I always said, it's probably a Jehovah's Witness. I says, no, it looks more like a salesman to me. He knocked on the door, and here he was a Spectrum salesman. He wanted to sell me internet and cell phone service. And I told him I have no use for the internet, and I have cell phone service, and I have no plans of changing. And he thought he could probably get me a better price and a better deal, but he was super nice about it, real nice. And we discussed it, and we talked about it for a little while, and I told him I just have no interest, I have no need for it. And he says he understands. And as he was ready to leave, he goes, is there anything I can pray for you yet? And about took me back. There's a salesman from Spectrum asking if I need any prayers, if there's any needs that he could pray for me. And we started having a discussion. And he told me, he says, you know, I started a year and a half ago, I started praying for boldness, to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, it is totally amazing how the doors open and how the Lord has led me to people. And he says, now I go to these houses. I knock, I go door to door, knock on the doors, and I ask everyone before I leave, is there any need for prayer? And he said, it's amazing the connections I got and the connections I get and how the Lord works. And then he discussed how we have to be born again and we have to live this righteous life. And he was there probably, I don't know, half hour or so. And it was such a tremendous blessing. And then we prayed together. And it just struck my heart. What am I doing to be a witness and a testimony to the people around me, not just in L.A., not just in New York City or wherever we go, Columbus, but right where we're at as we meet people. The titles I thought about giving was, Now Then, Do It, 2 Samuel 3:18. But I scratched that one. Then I titled it, How Are We Witnessing for the Lord? And I scratched that one. And then I named it, No Excuse for Not Witnessing. And if we think of excuses, we can always think of excuses, can't we? And I must confess, I did come up with an excuse here about a month ago. I don't do good at writing letters. I'm not a good speller. Where do the periods and the commas and all this and all that go? And I struggle writing letters. And so Bethlehem Christian Fellowship decided they're going to write prison letters here about a month ago. And I had another opportunity come up where I could have easily said, we got prison letters to write, but I decided to go see James Swartz and Trooper. Some of you know him that evening instead of prison letter writing. And so I come up with an excuse. Is that what the Lord wants from me? Just because I'm not a letter writer, to come up with an excuse. So wouldn't you know it, come up again. In fact, Wednesday evening, it's time to write prison letters. I call Brother David in. I says, David, do I have to come? And he says, yes, you do, brother. And I says, well, that's just not me. He says, come anyway. I says, I really don't want to. I could probably come up with something else to go witness. He says, no, brother, you need to come and you need to write prison letters. And I was like, okay, well, Lord willing, I'll be there. And I went. I texted him when I was doing it. I says, I got a headache, but it was a tremendous blessing. It was a blessing to be there and see the people and read these letters and see the situations these people are in prison and the desire. And then God give us discernment that we know what to write and how to reach out to these people. And so it was a tremendous blessing to do that. But we can easily come up with excuses. You know, I'm just not, and we'll talk about the different gifts. We're not all going to go to Columbus and preach. We're not all going to go to prison and preach. We're not all going to go to the streets and witness there. But we do have different gifts, and I believe we need to exercise our gifts. And I believe every one of us cannot come up with excuse not to witness and talk about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. So I'm going to start in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And especially look at a couple of these verses. Now here a dad is, the context more like a dad talking to his son. But I think this is for us. And if we look at Proverbs chapter 4, and we start in verse 18, but he says, but the path of the just is as a shining light. So who are the just people? Who are the just people? And that's what my message today is. I'm preaching to the born-again believers here today. And the responsibility God has given on us, and the duty God has laid on us to do. And it says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And then it goes on in verse 19. And let's see the difference here. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So these, looking at these two verses here, we see the drastic difference with the shining light and the wicked just stumbling around. They don't have no direction. They don't know where they're going. They don't see where they're going. And then he goes on and says, my son, attend to my words. It says, decline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from the forward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all the ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And I believe that's what the Lord wants for us. He wants us to be a witness. He wants us to ponder our path. He wants us to have the straight path, that we don't look to the left or to the right, but that we reach out to these people that says here in verse 19, to the wicked that are in darkness. And I think of all the time when I was stumbling around and fumbling around at the age of 28, 29 years old, two children. I had no direction. I had no spiritual life. On the outside, everything may have looked well. But you know what? The people working around me knew there was something wrong. I and my wife knew there was something wrong in my life. I didn't have a love for God. I wasn't interested in spiritual things. But people deeply cared about me. And I look at how people witness, and that's one thing I'd like to bring out today. Different cultures, we have to witness in a different way. Now, if you would have went, when we went to L.A., when we were there at L.A., so they went out in the streets, and they ministered to people there. They sang, they passed out tracts, and they went to different places to cook for struggling people, And it was for 11 days, and it was all day long. It was long, hard days because they cared for those souls. And as I was working at Steiner Turf there, the assembly line, and my memory reflects back there, walking in darkness, stumbling around in darkness, no direction. There was people there that cared about me. Now, is there people around us that we fellowship with, or we are with all day, working with, or associate with, that are stumbling around? And what for testimony are we? I'm going to turn to Acts 1. I'm going to refer to one verse here in Acts 1. Quite a bit, actually. In verse 8. It says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witness, it says, unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto uttermost parts of the earth. So here it's saying that we will be equipped. We will receive the power after the Holy Ghost is come upon us, and you shall be witness unto me and to all these other places. So I believe if we are born again, if we are a child of God, if we are the just people, we cannot come up with excuses not to be witnessing for our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the first act of every Christian should be the winning of souls. Or could we say the first business of a born-again believer should be winning of souls? I hear about 6 months ago, I started a shed lot. I set up an office, and there's sheds there to sell. And you know, my business there is to sell sheds. So how do I go about to sell sheds? I have to know my product. I have to know what I'm selling. I have to be convinced about what I'm selling. And I think that's the same as being a Christian. We have to be convinced. We have to be sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God's plan that every Christian should be concerned to make the Savior known to as many souls as possible. God has ordained us, every one of us, has ordained us to this sacred work of witnessing, being a testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we think about that, that's quite a responsibility we have. And in real sense, the salvation of souls, let's get this, in real sense, the salvation of souls waits and depends upon our obedience and our faith. Just like that salesman from Spectrum. He's reaching out to people. He's presenting, asking if they can pray, if he can pray for them. Whoever he meets opens the door to where he can share the good news, the gospel, and what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in his life. You know, there's different ways that we can be effective in witnessing for our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said, we are also different. We all have different gifts. But there's different ways to do this. And I think we all get different opportunities. And there's no one in here that has to or can come up with an excuse if we're born again believers to be not witnessing for our Lord Jesus Christ. I see Brother Levi sitting over there. And I believe he should be up here preaching this message. God bless you as you share the word of God. What grace of God has done to you. And I think of others just sharing the gospel. And just a tremendous blessing. You can just feel when people love the Lord and have that walk with the Lord, have that connection with the Lord. So there's many different ways. And what are the true marks of a witness who delivers souls? Proverbs 14:25 says, "A true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies." So a true witness delivers souls. One of the first ones is, we must know the risen Jesus Christ personally. We could go to Acts 2:32 and discuss that. But we must know the risen Jesus personally. Number two, we must witness unto Jesus himself as here in Acts 1. "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me." Number three, we must not be respecter of persons. Is that a challenge for us? It's a challenge for me. Just confess. We must not be a respecter of person to whom we witness. The other thing is, number four, we must be willing to suffer. If we go to Revelation chapter 20, we see there that the suffering for witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't think any of us have witnessed or experienced anything like that. Number five, we must be spiritually equipped. Are we equipped to witness and be a testimony for our Lord Jesus Christ? I'm going to share a little bit. I did mention that in L.A., the way they witnessed in LA, the way we witness in New York City, the way we witness in Columbus, probably wouldn't have worked for me. I wasn't very open to the gospel. And so I think we have to be very keen to the Spirit of God. And different religions, we have to witness in different ways. I remember in New York City, one year we went to the Jewish Center. And we sang songs and tried to pass out tracts. And the rabbis turned their backs against us as they walked by. They wanted no part. It wasn't very effective. And then the next year we went in and we sang different songs, and it was a little bit more effective. But I think, as for me, passing out, just a good example was, if I go to Mount Hope Auction, Airworks sale, I told my wife not to let me go there anymore, but there is an opportunity to witness there. Going up, just passing out tracts normally doesn't work. I would have rejected it. I didn't want no part. Having tracts in a rack where there was a lot of other people around me wouldn't have worked. Having a rack track somewhere in the back corner where a lot of people wouldn't have been, I would have possibly picked one up. But I remember one Saturday, it was a swap meet. It was one of the first swap meets. And I was walking through the parking lot, and here was a track laying on the parking lot. There was not hardly anyone else around. I looked, and I seen it was a gospel track, and half of it was wrote in German, the other half was in English, and I hope someone dropped this track, and I picked it up. And I didn't look at it, look through it, because I didn't want anyone to see me with that track. I stuck it in my pocket. I got my horse and I got my buggy and I headed home and I pulled that track out and I read it. So if I go to Mount Hope, I'll take tracks and I'll throw them on the driveway. I'll throw them up on those walkways where not a lot of people are. And I believe there's people that will pick them up if they're laying around. And that track spoke to me. I didn't get converted or born again because of that track, but it spoke to me. It was about having a godly life and what a godly life is all about. So I think we have to be careful. We have to be sensitive. And I believe that's where different gifts come in when we witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. The first method of witness is the most important, is the witnessing of a consistent Christian life. I believe that is one of the most important methods, to have a consistent Christian life, a Christian walk. You know, no testimony is so powerful as the testimony of a changed life. We really do have a changed life, and people can see that. That is very powerful. That itself can change. That can talk to people. In John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39, it says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of the belly shall flow rivers of living water, but they spoke of the Spirit which they have believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost has not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified." So I think it is very powerful, our changed life. That is one way to be a witness and a testimony. Our walk of life, our consistent Christian living. People observe us. People watch us. People see us. People who we don't think sees us and observes us. So I think that's one of the number one ways to be a witness and a testimony. I think every one of us needs to seek that witness for the Lord. We witness by what we are. And we witness by what we do. And we witness by what we do not do. So we witness by what we are, by what we do, and by what we do not do. And I think that can be a tremendous way to be a witness, and very important way. Number two, every Christian should be ready to witness for the Lord by word of mouth. I believe every Christian ought to be ready to by the word of the mouth, by our mouth, to witness to people. Yes, every Christian. Yes, every born-again believer. But I really don't have the gift to do that. But this or but that. But I believe every Christian, every born-again believer should be witnessing with their mouth as the opportunity comes up. In Psalms 107:2, it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Surely, if the Lord has really called Jesus, we can tell others of the wonderful grace and power. Do you have a mic ready? Are we ready to witness what the Lord has done in our life in this last week? What the grace of God has done in our life? What the power of God has done in my life? I can share you a testimony. So, as I opened this shed lot, I get interaction with people. Yes, I put tracks in there. People don't even really look at them. And so, after this spectrum man showed up, I decided I'm going to ask every person that comes in there if I can pray for them as they're getting ready to leave. And you know, it opens up doors. It changes people's demeanor. I had this one lady come in there. She said she lives in a tent. She's looking for a rent-to-own barn. Has no income. Her husband kicked her out of the house, living in the tent with a couple cats, and the cats don't like the wind. She has to do something. The tent flops, and she has to do something. And she was just, I think she was on drugs, just moving, and she couldn't hold still. And she was there quite a while and looking around with her dad with a long too. And then I told her to come in the office after she gets done looking around. And she tells me all the bad things that's happened in her life. And then I had the opportunity as she was leaving, I says, "Could I pray for you?" And she just looked at me. And immediately something changed in her expressions. She didn't need any prayers, but her dad and her mom needed prayers. So it opened up a door where I could have a little better conversation with her. And so I think if we look for those opportunities, God's going to bring them to us. He'll bring them to our door. He'll bring them to wherever we are. So I'm going to pick on a brother here today. And I see a brother sitting over here, Brother Levi, that I know, if you could give him the mic, I know he's going to have something to share what the grace of God and the power of God has done for him in this last week. So if you could just share a little bit, that would be a blessing. So you're going to get a mic here.
What we've heard today, but I feel what I can see and feel, if the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, nobody has to tell us we have to do this or that. And this song comes to my mind so clearly. When God dips his love into my heart and he writes my soul a message he wants me to know, his spirit so divine fills the sinful soul of mine. Hallelujah, when God dips his love into my heart. I thought I wouldn't tell it to a living soul, but I found I couldn't hide such a love as Jesus did impart. It makes me laugh and it makes me cry, and it sets my sinful soul on fire.
Amen.
This is what happens when the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. We don't have to do things, but it comes. The love of God, it gives us this expression because we can't pay for what Jesus has done for us. Amen. But once we experience that love, we can't help but tell other people. Amen. Because he gives us to our hearts, and it gives us such a real peace, like the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. So may he be glorified. Whatever we do in word or deed, do to the honor and the glory of God. Yeah. And there's a scripture that I've learned, marked for quite a while, but in the last 6 months, it really stands out so real. That's in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. He says, "But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." Amen. And this is wonderful. The grace of God. Do we really feel the reality? Grace, the Greek definition of grace is grace influences the heart and gives a reflection in life. So this is the grace of God working. May he be honored and glorified. So in Jesus' name, we praise thee.
Thank you. That's what the grace of God does. Like Brother Levi said, we want to share what the Lord has done in our lives. It's like rivers of flowing water running through us. If we look at the rapid growth of the early church, what was the factor? Why did it grow so fast? I believe it was because they were witnessing. And if we go turn to Acts chapter 5, verse 42, something stood out to me when I come across this verse. Acts 5, verse 42. "And daily in the temple and every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Every house. Now, can we imagine the difference we can make if every house here, every dad goes home today, and that is their purpose of their being here, is that they could teach and preach Jesus Christ. Teach and preach Jesus Christ. The impact, the difference, the influence it can make on a whole community. You know, the Lord promised to supply the needs to all his servants who will speak for him. If we want to speak for him, he will provide. Now let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. And let's look at some verses here in Jeremiah chapter 1. I'm going to, I think, jump in here at verse 4. "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou cameth forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." He says, "I can't speak, for I'm a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nation, over the kingdom. It says to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. And I believe that is for us also. That's not just for Jeremiah here. But that the Holy Spirit works in our lives through our mouth, our testimony, our walk, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, and then to build and to plant. I believe that's the duty of every born-again believer. And I think that includes all believers. Number three, every Christian should be a witness for the Lord by open fellowship with the people of God. Christians should be a part of a church, have fellowship with other believers. I believe that's a testimony itself. And we could go to Hebrews chapter 10. I may just jump over there and get a couple verses there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of herself together as a manner as some is, but exhorting one another, and to so much the more as we see the day approaching. I believe that's a testimony itself. If brothers and sisters can get together and assemble itself to, as it says, exhorting one another, to exhort each other, I think that speaks, and that's a testimony itself. Number four, many Christians have found that they are witness for their Lord by handing out tracts, and we discussed a little bit about that. I think all of us can hand out tracts. I think all of us is capable of handing out tracts, sharing the gospel that way. And you know, we don't know. I don't know how many years ago Nathan's and us went to Emmanuel. It was probably, 20 years ago, 19 years ago. We listened, it's been a number of years ago. Went up to Emmanuel to listen to a convert. He was a Mormon, and he got converted, and he was there to share his testimony. And I wish I could have gotten my hand on a tape or a CD or something of his testimony so I could have listened to it again. But I'd like to bring this out to be an encouragement, because you know we can go to, I know at one time as we were attending or going to Mount Vernon jail there once a month, I come to the point where what good does this do? I mean, the people, you had some conversation, and in jail, it's kind of more difficult. There are a lot of them in there for a short term, and then they leave, and prison is a different thing. I could connect more with people in prison. But I was to the point, well, what good does it do? And I remember one evening coming in there. I'll get back to this Mormon thing then. But I remember one evening coming into prison, and I was kind of discouraged, or like, okay, what good does it really do? And the first person I met up that we got into the cell, the first person I met up with was an atheist, or he said he was an atheist. And he was one of the nicer atheists I spoke to ever, probably. He was kind of radical, but he was reasonable. I mean, he listened also. And we had a conversation, and he was telling me he don't believe anything unless he sees it. And then we went into a discussion if he can see wind and all that. And we had a conversation. And finally I seen where this thing, he was going to use up my whole evening. And we were not going to get anywhere. So I left there and I went over to a man that was laying on his bed. And he invited me there and I sat at the edge of the bed. And here this atheist come and sat down too. And he just listened. And before I left there, he told me this. He says, do not quit coming in here. Do not quit your jail or prison ministry because you guys do make a difference. There's something that happens when you're in here. You guys make a difference. And so sometimes we get discouraged, but I believe we don't know what the Lord has. We can plant, and the Lord will make things grow. He'll make the spiritual things grow. Our duty is to plant the seed. But this back to this convert, this Mormon, and I don't have the whole story. I wish I would. It was a testimony, if I remember right. And Nathan, you can correct me if I'm wrong. But if I remember right, he and his son or one of his children were dumpster diving. They were in a dumpster, and they were dumpster diving looking for goods out of there. And I think he was from Utah, if I remember right. And he looks up, and here is two Mennonite ladies. And they were passing out tracts. And they handed him a tract. And he took that track, he took it home, and if I remember right, he stuck it in a shoebox or put it in a box and put it up in the attic. And he forgot about that track. And quite a number of years later, he started questioning some of this, his life. And then he was thinking about Christian way of life, and he thought of this track. And he went and dug this track out. And that track was part of his testimony and what it did to him. So we don't know. So we can pass out tracks. That's fairly simple. Pass out tracks where we're at. So there's different ways to do it. There certainly is a blessing to witness for the Lord. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary and well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Number 5, another useful method of witnessing is, yes, letter writing. We talked about that a little bit. I must say it's not my gift, writing prison letters. But I want to do it. And I think it can be a blessing. And the reason I put this in here, we can write to the sick. We can write to the troubled, the ones that are struggling. Just sit down and write a letter. We're not all gifted at writing letters. But I remember years ago, about year 2000, as I was born again, just started preaching the Word of God. And friends rejecting us, and they were threatening to take my ministry and excommunicate me because of preaching the Word of God and the things I've repented of and things I was trying to change that were sinful in our church setting. And it was hard. But I had love for the Lord, and I look at Him as my people, and I still do. And I got a deep burden to preach to the Word of God, and I lost all my reputation. I was at the point where I didn't care what people thought about me. It still hurt if friends turned against me, and it still hurt if there was false rumors, and all that hurt. But I was at the point where my reputation was trashed. And then there was times I was so discouraged, or we were so discouraged, and our children were discouraged, and their friends turned against them, and they couldn't be friends with them anymore. And then we get a letter on the mail. I don't know, we got a number of letters on the mail that encouraged us. Keep on preaching the Word of God. You were at our church Sunday and you preached a message, and it's exactly the way I feel, but I do not dare sign my name. I'm afraid people will turn against me, and my husband is not on the same page I am, but keep preaching the Word of God. That's what we need to hear. And I think we can be a tremendous blessing and a testimony by writing letters and to the ones that are hurting and to the ones that are struggling, to the sick. So there's a variety of methods and ways to be a true witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think one of the better ways to witness is our house should bear a testimony that we are the Lord's. Our house should be a testimony that we truly are the Lord's. I'm going to leave you with one verse for closing. In 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 18. Now then do it. That's how it begins. Now then do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of the servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies. So I want to leave that. Now then do it. Let's be a testimony. Let's be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask that you would pray for me, for that reputation I thought I had to have, and that I can be a true witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. But that fear of man wants to creep in. What are they going to say? What are they going to think? Will they quit doing business with me? I think it's important that we witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done in our lives. May the Lord bless you.